Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WEEI Afternoons, that was Brian Hoyer about a half hour ago with us here. And that's a story, Ted, that I actually, like Brian, haven't really verified, but it's making the rounds. It's becoming legend of Drake May.
I love it.
That he looked at the stat sheet in high school, not to see what he was doing, to see who didn't get theirs, basically, and who he needed to spread the ball to. You like that story?
I love that story. What is it? It's very similar to how the head coach thinks. You know, guys been working all season long to try and get some playing time. They got opportunities. We wanted to reward them. You know, I think Vrabel is very much about guys getting their rewards and spreading the wealth around. So I think the two think similarly when it comes to that, which I absolutely love. And just the juxtaposition between Drake May's final game of the season versus Matt Stafford's final game of the season, where they were trying to get him touchdown passes,
right?
Where Drake May was handing the ball off at the 1 yard line for somebody else to get the touchdown. I like, you know, it's kind of like the Brady Peyton Manning debate where, you know, Peyton wanted all the money, Tom wanted to do what was right for the team. I was into that then.
Yep.
I'm still into that stuff now. I like that. Those kind of, you know, stories that kind of pit you against someone else. It feels like our guy's doing it for the right reasons.
And you know what makes it work? 14 wins. Because if you were like 6-8 Fitzy or whatever, 6-9 whatever, and word got out that they were trying to get a guy a catch or they were trying to get this guy. How about you try to win football games and don't worry about individual stats?
But that part of me is like, you know, the touchdown, everyone references the touchdowns. It's like, Drake May could have gotten more touchdown passes if that's what they were trying to do, was get him MVP.
Yep.
But no, he's trying to win football games and to distribute the ball equally so that everyone's involved. I love that story from high school. It's no surprise. I'm surprised we didn't hear more of that when he got drafted.
Yeah.
That story.
I hope it's true. If not, who cares? You know what? I think this world would be better off, actually, if not everything had to be true. Like in sports, like 80 years ago, the newspaper guys controlled everything, and they would make up these stories, and legends would be built because you didn't have phones and internet and all this, right?
It's just scary with AI, though, with all the stuff they can come up with. It's not true.
I know. I just saw Jordan running for touchdowns on a football field.
In high heels.
I'm not sure the guy who talks into a microphone for a living should advocate for things being false more often.
Not false?
Let's just make it up.
No. Did you guys read the, what's his name, Jeff Pearlman, that wrote the Bo Jackson? He was
he's a tremendous author, yes.
And the title was something to like the last sports legend, or basically that Bo was the last guy where kind of word of mouth stories were part of his legend, right? Oh, and BP one day at the Metrodome, he went up left-handed and he hit a ball off the roof in the back, Now you would go, okay, show me. Everybody's got a phone. Show me it. But like back then, you could just believe it.
Have you ever met Bo Jackson?
I haven't. If you make that happen, you will be my favorite. We got to meet him
someday.
I don't know that I could compose myself.
Yeah.
I might cry.
Yeah, I think you might.
I don't think you people understand. Yeah. That was in the formative years of my life.
The infatuation you have, and I get it.
I get it.
He was the man.
He was pretty awesome.
What is one of those legend stories? Do you remember the Herschel Walker legend story? How did he work out?
The push-ups and sit-ups?
Push-ups and pull-ups. That was all he
and
did.
Ballet.
Yeah. And ballet. And that's all he needed to be the player he was.
Get a little dubious.
He was absolutely shredded.
Yeah, he was.
He'd have that little thing in his locker. The P-man wants to see you tomorrow morning. All you do is push-ups and you look like that? Sure you do. Yep.
So, Andy, you cried for Patriots and Bears in the 80s and not again until you meet Bo Jackson.
That is not okay. I cried giving my vows at my wedding. Anyway, Ted's here. It's a little after 4. Why don't we talk a little Dolphins-Patriots?
It's time for a TED Talk.
In a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
This was a disappointing play. Patriots had momentum.
From three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
This guy is one of the best inside linebackers in football.
It's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the football. The snap of the ball, said hey.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Ted, before we get into the points you have in the official TED Talk and everything, what was your just like big picture takeaway from 38-10, the finale we just talked about? They got some guys some incentives. They did, like, just the over. They got Will Campbell back and some of that. Like, what was just your sort of overall kind of takeaway from that finale and what they did?
I loved it. I thought, you know, look, it was a little bit close there, but in some of these games against lesser opponents, even if the game was tight, I've never felt like the game was ever, you know, slipping away, even if it was a one-score game. And it was up until the middle of the third quarter.
Yep.
I love how they've responded kind of these last two games. I feel like, you know, Hoyer kind of hit on it. These last two games were kind of tune-up games, for this team. And if you look at it, the most yards the Patriots have had so far this year, okay, in offense, the third most yards they've had in a game was the week 17 game against the Jets, 440. The second most yards they had on offense was in week 16 against the Ravens at 453. The most yards the offense has had all season long, week 18 versus the Miami Dolphins. So the offense is hitting on every cylinder right now at the right time.
A little bit of momentum. Stiz, hit it.
Well, I would say not disappointing at all. I think that these are allegations, like you mentioned in your question. It's things that we have to handle, and every day that there's distractions, some are smaller than others. You know, I'm confident that, you know, we'll focus on the Dolphins, and, you know, those two individuals that you mentioned will, you know, be able to handle the ongoing legal process.
Ted, while Dan Ball was manning the ship here, we had a couple off-field issues. Stephon Diggs, Christian Barmore, court appearances. Did that affect the team last week or on Sunday?
Not one bit. And that was going to be something I was going to watch for. How did they start this game? Were they focused? Were these going to be distractions? Never not once did it even enter my mind, those stories, when they were playing the Dolphins. And that's a credit to Mike and the culture he's built. And I kind of thought it would be that way, just based on everything I've seen this year. I really wasn't worried about it. Those stories, hitting back-to-back like they did, I'm not sure every team would have responded the way the Patriots did.
So we don't overrate that. Like, we don't overrate, okay, Stephon Diggs actually sits 50 feet from me in the locker room. You know, I'm a safety. He's a wide receiver. I actually don't even really interact with him all that much, but he's got a court appearance, and now Cardi B's in the news. Like, is that a big deal? Is that a distraction? Does that have a potential effect?
It can.
On every player?
It can impact, especially if the guy that is being accused is not focused during the week, or he's missing, or there's where it impacts other guys, for him physically not being there. So, but these guys were able to, I guess Barmore, he missed one practice, I think. But otherwise, it felt like business as usual. And I'm going to be honest with you, These guys are kind of used to having stories like this prop up. You play football long enough, you know, it's hard. All these guys on these teams, to everybody do all the right things all the time, that would be unusual. So guys are kind of used to these things interrupting and maybe potentially being out there while they're playing football. And so they're used to kind of not letting it bother them.
And Fitzy, that was your point yesterday with that clip we just heard from Vrabel that some people bristled at, not disappointed. How could you not be disappointed? Yep. And Fitzy, you were talking about, well, he's been around football a long time. He's probably seen a lot of these incidents.
Doesn't make it okay. It's just that he has a different and unique perspective and understanding of it because he's seen what some of these guys go through, who these guys are, what they do. So he has to manage it. But I did want to ask you, Ted, in this particular case where you have an allegation that was acknowledged a long time ago, but the charges didn't come forward until conveniently on New Year's Eve, cascading off of the charges or allegations of another player. Whose responsibility is it to say something in the locker room, or do you just walk? Or do you just walk past it, leave it, be a moot point?
Oh gosh, nobody says you know. Guys have their issues. You let them have their issues. You don't intervene. You don't talk. You just no. That's his deal. And you know what? Mike responding the way I did, I heard a lot of the commentary, and people were a little bit, you know, disappointed by his disappointed comments. And I would say, you know, there's a lot of people he's quote unquote responsible for, or you know, basically has to speak for. It's not unusual that these things prop up, and you don't want these things to derail all the hard work that you've done. And so by him kind of maybe feeling like he did, you know, some people say dismissive of it or not giving it the weight it deserves. That's how you survive in this league, is moving on. You can't let things like bad decisions from your players impact the entire season and everyone else on the team.
I just wanted to say, though, Ted, and I was one of those people who hit up the group and was like, wow, not disappointed. I just felt like it was a poor choice of words and probably would have been better off saying something like, listen, it's not ideal, but we have to focus on X, Y, Z.
And I bet you if he had to do it all over again, he might put it that way, and I understand why you'd feel that way, Stiz.
Putting a couple things on tape on this drive for the playoffs, huh?
Throw it to him.
Give it to him. MVP case. Instead, Stevenson. Both running backs with a touchdown. Two drives, two scores for New England.
Best player on the Patriots over the last 3 weeks, Ramondre Stevenson, Ted.
That was the rushing touchdown? That was the rushing touchdown. So, Stevenson, how about this? Was one of the absolute worst running backs in the NFL for the first basically 14 weeks of the season, and then in the last four games, okay, he's ranked first in yards per rush at 9.6. So in the last 4 weeks, not just the last game, I'm talking the last four games.
Last month, okay.
He was literally bottom five in the NFL for the first 14 weeks, the last 4 weeks, number one in rushing yards per attempt, number one in yak yards per rush at 7.3, fifth in receiving yards, first in touchdowns with six, and PFF grade of 91.4, first in as far as running backs in the last 4 weeks. You talk about a guy who has turned it around. And Phil Perry asked me last night on the breakdown why I thought that was maybe the case. What has changed? I think he's not only is he obviously healthier. I think he's got. It was a little bit mentally affected by the fumbles early in the season. And then Phil Perry, I got to give him full credit for this, brought up, I think, is probably the more poignant point. And that is when he's on the sidelines nursing his injury, he's watching Travion Henderson go off. Nothing is a bigger motivator than watching the guy you back up going out there and balling out. So don't underestimate the power of that and that maybe being responsible for his kind of resurgence here in the last four games.
I just call that the Garoppolo effect.
There you go.
I just want to reiterate the numbers you just gave and correct me if I misheard you. You said in the last month he is averaging over 9 yards per carry, best in the NFL, and is also averaging over 7 yards after contact.
Correct. 7.3.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's a huge. So you can say
that's
the line.
What he was known for when he first got in the league.
Yes, that game. I'm going to go back to last year. That first game against the Bengals when he had like a buck 23 and 121 was after contact or something like that. And he is reminding people how good he is and the talents he has. He can run. He can catch. He can protect. He makes the offense better by a mile when he's playing well.
And just so here's the little stat I was trying to search for, but he ranked 56th out of 60 running backs over the first 14 weeks.
Now he's the best running back in the NFL.
Third and two, Mays got Stevenson, touchdown. First touchdown pass of the day for Drake May. And Ramondre Stevenson for the second week in a row has two, one on the ground and one through the air.
So
is that my buddy doing his job?
Dude, it is a masterclass right now. So what was the main issue for this Patriots offense? What were we all concerned about? What part of the game that they weren't doing very good in?
The red zone. Yes.
Have you seen the last 2 weeks how they've been playing in the red zone?
Yes.
Okay. Masterclass, and it's basically they're running the football better, but they're also Josh is scheming up.
It was a wildcat. Or whatever you want to call that.
There was a wildcat, but the touchdown pass to Stevenson was kind of like the, I don't know, the DeMario Diggs touchdown versus the Falcons or the Ramondre Stevenson touchdown versus the Jets, where he studies the opponent, knows what they're going to be in. So basically, that touchdown pass to Ramondre Stevenson, they went into empty. They motioned out to empty. The Dolphins checked and went into played a defense that Josh knew was going to be what they were going to be in, and so Ramondre ran the route, and it was an easy touchdown, and that was, I think, a play in which Drake May, you've seen him do this a lot lately, looks over to the sideline after the touchdown and he points right at Josh.
Yep,
and he points, he just boom, just a little point. That's him saying to Josh, you said in practice all week that when we get this look, they're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. And we do it in the game, and it happens just the way you said it was going to happen in practice. So I'm giving you a little finger to say, boom, you're right. You're seeing him point to Josh a lot lately.
Can I add a layer to that? I know you love some of my conspiracy theories. I don't think you're going to love this one. That could also be him pointing out to everybody who's watching, maybe an owner who's up in a luxury box, maybe the head coach who for a couple weeks were like, does the head coach not really like the offensive coordinator? I feel like he's pointing and saying, that guy's really good. He makes me really good. Don't ever let that guy go anywhere. Give him the money he needs. When the Raiders contract runs out, pay him the money he's worth. Mike Vrabel, keep that guy on the sideline. I may be reading too much into it, but I choose to read it that way, Ted Johnson.
I like that.
Oh, you do?
I do. I love your conspiracy theories. Okay. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Under a minute and a half. Hughes is in trouble. Chased by Barmore and sacked. Christian Barmore from an interior spot leads the team in pressures and turns this one into his second sack.
I mentioned you got Will Campbell back on the offense and the run game looked good. The offense looked good. Defensively, you got Milton Williams back after this extended absence. And literally on one play, looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, yep. They didn't block him, but still.
Details.
He looked good. But the running game, the running defense looked better. No surprise, right? And then also, they got after the passer, 4 sacks. I mean, they haven't had that many sacks in a very long time. And so I'm guessing a big part of it is because Milton Williams is back. I just think when Milton's back, I don't think Barmore likes being the top dog. I think he's better as a, what would you say, not the lead actor, Fitzy, but the supporting actor. I think he's more of a supporting actor than he is a lead actor. And so everybody's kind of, their roles fall into a better slot. And I think that's overall better for the defense. I don't think Milton Williams coming back is all of a sudden their run defensive issues are taken care of. But it certainly helps. And we saw that in this game. And they got after the passer. They're going to need to get off after, Justin Herbert because that they've given up 56 sacks, the Chargers have. Mm-hmm. 56. And so it's time to get after the passer. And hopefully the performance they had last week against the Dolphins will that momentum will carry into this week's game.
Yeah, I don't want to put all my thoughts on the table on a Tuesday. We got a long week to build up. But I think Milton Williams, that defensive front, is the key to this game. If they are good, I won't even say great, but if they're good, slow down the run. Don't let Hampton and company run all over you with that big old fullback they're going to run at you. And then put enough pressure. You don't have to be the Texans. I don't expect you to be something you're not, but put just enough pressure on Herbert. If you play well up front, I think you win this football game. I think that's the key. Now, if you don't, then we might be having conversations and the shootout that Brian Hoyer's predicting might shoot out in a different direction. But Milton Williams is proving that $100 million, that was money well spent.
It was. And let me make one little final point here in the TED Talk here is the running game has also been aided. The reason the Patriots have been running the ball better is really because of Drake May's passing. So here's what I'm trying to say. When we play, for instance, we play Peyton Manning, the way you would stop Peyton Manning is by stopping Edgerrin James. What do I mean? So to stop Peyton Manning's passing attack, you put two safeties deep. So if you're going to play two safeties deep, that means you better stop Edgerrin James running the football with just seven guys in the box. All right? And we were able to do that. Teams only are having lighter boxes against Drake because he's been killing them deep. So teams are playing the Patriots now and Drake May with two safeties deep. Now the running game's getting going because they're lighter box. They were seeing loaded boxes to start the season. They're seeing less of them now because of the threat down the field with Drake. So now Ramondre and Henderson are getting theirs on the ground.
Yes, Dan Ball?
If I don't have Ted Johnson as one of my linebackers, what do I do then?
You know what? You just pretty much just Katie bar the door. It's over. You got no chance.
All right, Ted, thank you for inviting us to your TED Talk. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to take a bigger picture look at what the Patriots have done in 2025 to get to 14 wins. What are they good at? What are they really good at? What is maybe a little fraudulent, looks good on paper, maybe isn't as good as it is? What is sustainable as they get embarked on this postseason run here? Bigger picture look at the Patriots and how good they are, or maybe how good they aren't, next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
That was Milton Williams, biggest free agent addition of the offseason for the Patriots, admitting something that Stephon Diggs admitted previously. He did not expect the Patriots would be this good. Probably had hopes and, you know, he's an athlete, so there's some confidence there inherent. But we're not the only ones who didn't see this coming. Brian Hoyer, who only picked 11 wins, didn't see this coming. Taylor Kyles, who only picked 13 wins, not even he saw 14 wins. The players, the media, and we were just talking off air. Fitzy, you and I touched on this yesterday. Even Mike Vrabel pumped the brakes in New York after the preseason finale when he said, remember, it's our first year here. Like, we got to see. And then even that Raiders game wasn't good. Drake May was not an MVP candidate. The best quarterback on the field that day was Geno Smith. And since then, Drake May has been the best quarterback on the planet. So we look at some things. For example, let's throw some stuff out there, Ted Johnson. You have a year ago, 17 points per game. This year, 28 points per game. You go from 30th to 2nd. Yards per game, if you
yards. That's
crazy.
That's the money stat.
Absolutely.
Points scored, right?
But if you like yards, because that's what they do like the official offensive and defensive rankings on, yards per game, 291 last year. That's 31st, Fitzy. That's not good. Just a reminder, 32 teams in the NFL, so 31st means you're really bad. 379.4 this year. That's third, and I don't want to be like Mr. Homer Honk here, but that's with them taking the fourth quarter off in like half these games.
You're right.
Like if they needed to or wanted to, they could have had a lot more yards and points.
Could be first,
So those
one of
numbers,
the lowest scoring fourth quarter teams in the NFL.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we know they can score.
Yep.
They're one of the best scoring teams. They don't score in the fourth.
Yep.
They could if they needed to, blah, blah, blah. Third down percentage, Ted. Money down, right?
Money That's it. Down. That's some money down.
Yeah, well, they weren't making money last year. They were 29th, 34.9%. This year, they're sixth. That would be 42.9%. Pretty good change there, huh? Money
Big
down.
Big time.
Red zone even. And this may surprise you because red zone's been a struggle, but not as big a struggle as it was a year ago. 30th in the league, 46%, up to 17th this year, which for them, for the rest of their stats, is bad, but that's a nice little jump there. You go from terrible to middle of the league. So there's a million of these PFF grades. We got everything. Everything's better for this offense in particular. We're starting on the offensive side of the ball. What aspects of this are sustainable? Like, we talk about Drake May's deep ball. Does that play in the postseason? Does that travel? All these old-school coaches that say the run game and defense, that travels. That right, that's part of the playoffs. Does Drake May's deep ball travel? Does that work in the postseason?
It sure does. Sure does.
So that's still an aspect of the game.
It's, again, in Hoyer thing, you know, I was wondering, you asked the question, I feel like, I forget how you phrased it, but and I think you put it in your show email this morning, you know, kind of like, the playoffs are here. How does it change? What's different? Like, do you see new things? Is it, do you play the game differently? You do not. The playing football in the playoffs, the speed of it, what you see, how you prepare is the same as it was in week one. It's not that way in basketball, and it's not that way in hockey. There's a different tempo. There's a different speed in which you play. It's almost a different game in the playoffs for basketball than it is in the regular season. People say that about hockey all the time. Football, it's the same way. You ask Schlaer that question, he'll say the same thing. You ask Hoyer, you're still playing as hard in the week one as you are in the playoffs. So that does not change. I just want to make that point.
Is that going to be emphasized by Mike Vrabel? Because he does have a relatively, I mean, not relatively, he has a young, inexperienced football team. There are some guys that have won and played playoff games. Is that going to be part of the Wednesday meeting, like almost like a Hoosiers moment? Field looks like it's still 100 yards to me, and the four downs and a play clock.
It's interesting. I don't know if he'll bring that up. I'll be curious. The distinction that Parcells used to make, and it was one of my favorite lines ever. And I remember calling Ted Senior after practice. I was like, listen to what Coach Parcells. He says, all right, guys, you know, it's the playoffs. And, just the most important thing is don't be the guy to send us home early. That's it. So every mistake, every slip, every penalty is magnified. So it's the same game that you played in week one, but your mistakes matter more. You know, if you mess up, it matters more. Because of what's at stake. It's win or go home. So that's the difference. It's not a five-game series. It's a one-game, you know, lose and move on or not. And so every mistake is just more magnified.
Fitzy, we kind of saw that Sunday night in the Steelers-Ravens game. There's a slip in coverage. Oh, there's a touchdown. There's a blown coverage. There's a missed PAT. Oh, there's a missed field goal. And those are all factors that led to one of those teams going home and having some big questions.
Yeah, Boswell misses his second extra point of his career. It's about to send the Stillers home to their sad shacks in Yinsburg. Oh, wait, the rookie kicker taking the place of Justin Tucker misses a 44-yarder, and that's so sad. And I can think of other, like, postseason mistakes that, you know, any other time might be like, oh, man, that was blown coverage, too bad. Like, Jamie Collins getting juked by Owen Daniels twice in Denver in an AFC championship, which cost the pass a trip to Santa Clara to win a Super Bowl. Or remember the time that Joe Flacco heaved a 70-yard bomb in Denver and Raheem Moore, the safety for Denver, forgot to get back, and Jacoby Jones
great
caught
call.
A 75-yarder.
Call, yeah.
And that sent the Ravens to Foxborough to get revenge for 2011 and Billy Cundiff. Otherwise, the Pats would have won that AFC championship.
I mean, if we were in Baltimore today, Fitzy would be talking about Mark Andrews. Just catch that ball against the Bills last year.
Right.
Catch the ball.
Catch the easiest pass
easiest
of your career.
Pass. It hit Mark Andrews in the chest.
Which is why I love when coaches try to do the whole, like, we didn't lose because of one play. Sometimes you lose because of one play, right? Like,
no, that's it really, and it's magnified in the postseason.
It is. Cordell down the sideline. Like, you can lose a game because of one play.
Yes.
And I know coaches don't want to put it, and they're trying to be nice and
go into cover zero against Demaryius Thompson with Tim Tebow, who throws one good pass in his career.
I was thinking of cover zero in the against the Giants.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But both are examples where you lost a game
with Junior Seau and Bruschi trying to wave it off.
Yeah. So you can lose by mistakes, but
in the playoffs,
absolutely singular games, and you'll know it if you're the person who slips, or you'll know it if you're the person who misses the tackle. So offensively, we talked about the run game and Ramondre Stevenson, because that doesn't have the track record of Drake May. Drake May's deep balls is 17 weeks. Going, right? We know he throws a great deep ball. We don't expect it to change, barring crazy weather. This late season surge that Brian Hoyer was comparing to 2018. By the way, Brian Hoyer, you left out a name, so next time you bring that up, James Devlin was the fullback that led the way for every one of those yards and touchdowns.
In your mouth.
James Devlin be there for you when you meet Bo Jackson just to catch you when you faint?
No, it's different. It's different. But is this sustainable? Like, did they flip a switch here? And they did have injuries. Campbell's back. Jared Wilson isn't, but I think they may get him back. So you may get your starting offensive line, all five guys, something that the Chargers can't say. Is this sustainable? Are they a running team now?
I think so. I think a lot of it is confidence. They've the continuity on that offensive line. I think they're starting to find themselves. I think schematically, they're just more creative than they were at the beginning of the season. They're doing more wide zone plays, which I think they're better at than just running power, you know, man on man inside, which they were doing early on. I think get them running. I think they're more athletic. I think they have good blockers on the edge. I think Mumford coming in now with Matt Collins out, they're putting, you see number 74, who's a backup offensive tackle, came in the game a lot in the last two games. And he tells the officials as he comes in, I am an eligible receiver, and then he has to tell the defense. So the defense knows that 74 is actually an eligible receiver. They play him at tight end, so he does a great job of blocking on the edges. So the outside game, any perimeter runs the Patriots have been scheming up are working, and I think they will continue to work. I don't see that changing much.
Okay, so I agree. I think this offense is sustainable. I think they can score points. I think whether it's the run game that is better late in the year, the whole thing. So the thing people are wondering then is the other side of the ball, the defense. Mike Reese tweeted in that game.
Who would have ever thought that to start the season?
It's crazy. And they are different. We'll see if they're at full health. Will Harold Landry be back? Will Tonga be back? Will Spillane be back? I'm guessing, hoping that those guys will be back. But even with them, and you mentioned the run defense was better against Miami, they were also without A-Chain.
Correct.
And so, like, that was kind of a JV offense you were facing and all that. So the run defense that was so much a part of our early season, hey, this team's pretty good. Are we getting early season run defense back? Are we getting not quite that good, but maybe good enough back? What are we getting?
That's probably my biggest concern. I just don't – the run game hasn't been good lately. I don't know. Just all of a sudden you just find that. Tonga is their best run interior defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's back, I would feel better. But I just think I think it's a little bit broken. I think the run defense is a little bit broken. I think their confidence is a little bit broken. So if it's a close game, I feel like, I mean, that Baltimore game wasn't that long ago. I mean, when was that? It was 3-4 weeks ago.
Yep.
And they pretty much ran whatever they wanted to against the Patriots defense. So
till they put Derrick Henry on the sideline for the last 7 minutes
of
the game,
which was still a head scratcher today. I don't know, Fitzy. I just think the run defense is something that when a team starts running on them, I think they feel it. I think they know, oh crap, here we go, and they just don't have the horses or the scheme to get it done.
Yeah, I fear
consistently.
This.
And right. With confidence.
Yeah, yeah. No. Okay. Fair point. The Chargers, look, they don't have tackles. These guys have been out for ages. They have big guards. They have very big guards. So if they can get some runs up the gut, Hampton's healthy. He's a good running back, Ted. And Kamani Vidal's a nice change of pace back as well. Yep. If they establish their run game early and they can play Harbaugh, as I like to call Jim Harbaugh, ball, then that's going to be a problem. If the Patriots can stuff it and Milton Williams is on his game, and Tonga, your guy, Andy, since you claimed him before me, if Tonga on defense can do his job, I give the Patriots more than a puncher's chance on Sunday night.
And you know, Fitzy and Andy, I would say just score a bunch of points early, and then we don't have to worry about the run defense.
Right. Be front runners. Yep. Play from in front.
That's what they've done all season.
Because otherwise, I bet you your boy is looking at his Harbaugh game plan and saying, yeah, their run defense looks a little shaky, and we like to run the ball, and we got like a 300-pound fullback, and we got a healthy young running back now. We're going to see if you can stop the run. Yep. And
I think they're going to test him at that.
Probably run it until you prove you can actually stop.
Yeah. Well, let's see how that ankle's doing, Milton Williams. Let's see how that ankle is doing, Robert Spillane.
All right, the offense is sustainable, we've decided. The run defense is questionable. We'll continue to break down this game. It's only Tuesday. Big build-up to a big football game on Sunday night. But up next, yesterday on Patriots Monday, we talked to Marcus Jones and Drake May. We asked them each to make a case for Drake May to be MVP. They did that. In doing so, did they throw a little shade towards Matthew Stafford? You'll hear it and decide for yourself next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play.
Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The opinions vary on whether Drake May is just a young candidate for MVP or will win the award, whether Matthew Stafford at 37 gets the career achievement honor.
A little disappointed
am I noticing
in TB12.
A little tone?
Yeah.
A little tone there, yeah.
Yeah, a little tone.
What do you think of Brady's synopsis there, Fitz?
Didn't love it. Got to be honest, and not just because he's supposedly Tom Brady and he's forever a Patriot. I didn't necessarily love the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah,
it felt, if not reeked, a little bit of, dare I say, jealousy. Maybe a little like, hey, I wish I was still there doing that. So let's give it to Stafford, so I don't have to start sweating a second statue.
Yeah, I actually thought it was condescending too, for some reason. And this could be a me problem. I'm being 100% honest. When he said 46 touchdowns,
save that drop.
That's a good year for any quarterback, I was thinking. You're thinking, no, it isn't, because you had 50. Yeah. Like, I think in the back of his mind, he's like being, you know, patting Stafford on the head.
Don't you think, as competitive as he is, Fitzy, that's going to seep out a little bit? And I think there's truth to that. And I also think it's a little, it's kind of like, have you studied the two? Like, if you're going to, I don't know. It feels like somebody that just hasn't really looked at the numbers.
Right.
And you're just saying who you like more, as opposed to, have you really looked at the metrics? And if you really delve into them, I think it's pretty clear that I think Drake May is more deserving of it.
And it also
felt like something that came out of like the, well, Drake, it's a little young for you to be in the established quarterback club.
But not even just that. I won a Super Bowl my second year, but I've already heard Ted Johnson say that Drake May is better in his second year than I was in my second year while winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
And I wasn't an MVP candidate in my second year, first year as a starter, that whole thing. It could play a role.
When did Tom win his first MVP?
He won his first MVP in 2007, right?
2007.
Took him a long time, 2007.
Yeah.
He was already three Super Bowls deep and a Hall of Famer at that point. Interesting. Yeah. Drake May doing it year two. Yes, Dayball?
Well, plus, Andy Hart also said he deserves a red jacket before he had nearly any of this success. And I know you guys are just two radio hosts, but think about it. We had that one caller who said, oh, Drake is more talented than Brady already.
Yeah.
And then ding, ding, ring, ding, ding, ding. Like, then they started rolling in. So I'm sure that's also, that's mirrored on social media. Where he has access to it. So I'm sure he sees a little bit of that.
Is that the craziest thing to say, that Drake May was more talented than Tom Brady was in year two than Brady was in year two?
No, it isn't. No. It's just like saying Patrick Mahomes was more talented in year two than Tom Brady was. It's a fact.
Yeah.
He's not going to accomplish what Brady did. But we need to get to this audio, because this audio is fun, and I've been accused at times in the past of reading too much into certain words. We'll see if this is that case or their shade was thrown. So we talked to Marcus Jones. We asked Marcus Jones who should be MVP. What would your case, if you had a chance to make a case to the 50 voters, what would you say?
I mean, the main thing that I would say is, you know, it's very hard, first off, to end up having the completing percentage, you know, completion percentage that he has. I mean, you turn on the film and everything like that. Like, it's hard also to end up, you know, having five wide receivers with five, you know, touchdowns.
Oh, wait, whoa. You mean it's hard to throw to a bunch of different receivers rather than just throwing 24 times to Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, including 14 times for Devontae Adams from the 1 yard line? Are you saying it's more impressive to kind of use these Jags? My words, not his. He didn't call any teammates Jags, but this kind of collection of receivers rather than an offensive player of the year candidate and a surefire Hall of Famer in Devontae Adams. Are you saying that's now? There's two ways to look at this. Is he just stating a fact, Ted Johnson? It's a fact. It's harder to do that. Mm-hmm. You could throw it up to Devontae and Nacua, or you can have to spread it around to five different guys. Or is he saying that with some tone intended to poke holes in Matthew Stafford's candidacy?
Well, you asked the question, so I don't think he was trying to do anything. He was just answering your question.
Yeah.
But I would say, for him to kind of cite a stat that I haven't really heard of anybody mentioning it that way.
Yeah. Interesting.
I wonder if, I don't know, maybe that's been brought up in a team meeting before.
Oh, I like where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm curious to hear Drake May's response, but my feeling is Vrabel has said to the team something to the effect that, you know, hey, Drake should be the guy, and there's why, and so he's regurgitating maybe what I feel. For him to say it like that, to me, his coaches, have said those things to him, and that's why he's saying it.
And Fitzy, we know that Vrabel is on board with promoting Drake May for MVP because Chris Curtis on Monday on the Greg Hill Show tried to ask, is Drake May the, and kind of got the rest of the question cut
off.
Yes, he
finished the question.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yes, he is the MVP. Oh. And then didn't explain himself, just kind of left it there like, yes, he is. It's a fact, right? Like, didn't even feel the need.
Good for Mike.
To back it up. He cut off the question and said, yes, he is.
Yeah. How would Bill Belichick have answered that question?
Really, we're just focused on the
right.
Team goals.
Good for Mike.
We're not real big on individual roles.
You know, that's why they're playing hard for him, because he doesn't even bat an eye.
He says
exactly what he feels about the player.
Genuine. He is genuine, and they're all on the same page, as you alluded to earlier, because Josh McDaniels has also been on the, he's mentioned a couple times, I wish we could have got him the touchdown at the end of that drive. Somebody makes a big play, gets tackled at like the 3. He's acknowledged, I wish I could get him the touchdown there. That I don't remember in previous generations of Josh McDaniels here with the Patriots. That's a Vrabel culture spin that I've noticed, which I'm fine with. All right, Stiz, so we heard from Marcus Jones. Now we need to hear from the horse that they've ridden to 14 wins.
You didn't
wins.
Ask him a question that was offensive, did you?
I did.
Boy, did he.
Not this week,
I don't think. Okay.
And this question was actually not from me. It was from Ted in Taunton.
You're at a crossroads, Drake. what are you going to do here?
There was a little bit of me that, on the Wildcat play, when Drake lined up out wide, were you worried you were going to get lit up when you were lined up out wide on the Wildcat play? But I didn't. Yes, Dan Ball.
Wait, was it Marcus who you used the term curb stomped?
They didn't care for that. I asked Marcus about the Chargers game last year, late in the season, when they got curb stomped by the Chargers. They didn't care for that.
Well, I mean, I'm 230 pounds, 6'5". It's a little harder to light me up than you think.
Tell him, Drake, just lean it into that answer.
But we asked Drake May, or Ted and Taunton asked Drake May, to make his case for MVP, and this is what he said. What would you say your case is to be the NFL MVP?
Just our team. 14-3, winning the AFC East in a year that a lot of people, would have bet on us not to.
Pause real quick. Did the Rams win the NFC West?
They did not.
Oh, interesting. So he was promoting that he is a division winner, something that the other candidate is not. Placed is.
I think that's what this league's about, winning. And I think, from there, just, ability to spread the ball around and try to get a lot of
people
involved.
Timeout. Oh, he's talking about spreading the ball around, too, not just throwing it to Puka Nacua and to Davante Adams 24 times for touchdowns on the one-yard line. Interesting. Spread the ball around, unlike what Matthew Stafford does. Placed is.
Ability to spread the ball around and try to get a lot of teammates involved is what I enjoy to do. I think we did that this year, and looking forward to hosting a home playoff game.
Oh, a home playoff game. Where, Ted, I don't know if you've studied the schedule for the weekend. Do you know where Matthew Stafford, the supposed MVP, is playing this weekend?
Don't he have to go all the way to Carolina?
He's playing on the road against a team with a losing record. So we here prioritize winning. We prioritize spreading the ball around. And we prioritize playing home playoff games. We won more games than you. We spread the ball around and we play at home. Matthew Stafford, supposed MVP. Did you hear the tone with which he said it?
Losers.
It was Trump-esque.
It's very Trump-esque. I mean, man, you know what? Drake's got a little killer. He's like this. It's, I don't know. He dresses it up as humility, but he's got a, and he is, don't get me wrong, but he's got a little killer in him, man.
He would rip your heart out.
Dude.
If he knew he could get away with it and not look bad.
You're right.
He's smart about it.
Right.
He's not going to rip your heart out on the security camera where you look bad, but he's got
You asked the question, and he gave you three little boom, boom, boom.
Boom!
In such a way that was so nonchalant, but when you think about it, it's like, dude, no, he's thought about it.
Yes, he has.
He's thought about it.
And he thought about who the competition is. It wasn't a generic answer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was what I do well that the other guy doesn't. It's why I should be MVP, and he can go on the road against a losing football team, the worst playoff team.
Yeah.
Marcus Jones and Drake May, they told Matthew Stafford where he can go, and that's Carolina over the weekend to play a road playoff game. All right, up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for The Drive. We need to get to Drake May and his MVP candidacy because, well, it's coming down to the wire. The votes are in. We don't know who's going to win, but the public opinion, which I thought had totally swung to Stafford, we have a debate. Ted Johnson weighs in on who's going to win the MVP next on The Drive here on WEEI.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.